الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله نويت سنة الاعتكاف. Honorable brothers in attendance, viewers of Madinah Channel, there are many excellences, blessings and virtues of reciting Durood Sharif, Salawat and Salam, peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our beloved Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In one narration we're told that whoever recites Salat upon the Prophet Alayhi Salam just once, Allah Ta'ala showers 10 mercies upon him, forgives 10 of his sins, and raises him by 10 ranks. Subhanallah, that's the reward of reciting just one Durood Sharif, one Salat ala Nabi. Imagine that fortunate individual, that privileged person who gets to recite Durood Sharif 100 times a day, 500 times a day, 1,000 times a day. So Salawat ala Nabi is very powerful. It's full of blessings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq to keep our tongues moist with sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, in the time we have, we'll be discussing a very relevant, very pertinent and fascinating topic. And that topic is something that we all concerned with. It affects one and all. Throughout our lives, we know there's ups and downs. We have happy moments, and then there are moments where we feel sad. We feel aggrieved. We feel down. We don't see anything but darkness. And we think, how am I going to get out of this situation? So this is the topic today, sadness and how to alleviate that sadness in our lives. Whenever we're faced with this sadness, what to do? And to begin with, I would like to mention an account, a story. It's a fictional story. Nevertheless, there's so much we can learn from this. The moral is great. That a crow lived freely and happily. A crow is a type of bird, a black bird. It roamed wherever it wanted to. And one day it saw a swan and thought to itself, this swan is so beautiful. Whereas me, I'm just black. I'm just black in color, that's it. Now listen to what the swan said. The swan said, I thought I was the best. Until I saw the parrot. The parrot's multicolored, beautiful. Everyone likes a parrot. The parrot said, I thought I was beautiful. I thought I was the best. I was number one. Until I saw the peacock. Now the crow met the peacock. Listen to what the peacock had to say. The peacock said that people admire me. People take pictures of me. People show admiration towards me, but the reality is I'm trapped in a zoo. I'm trapped in this zoo, and this is because of my beauty. So he's trying to explain to the crow that you think you don't have beauty, but this is the test of beauty as well. When someone has beauty, so many trials and tribulations come with that. The peacock says, because of my beauty, I'm trapped in a zoo. Whereas you are roaming freely, you go wherever you want, you live a calm, chill life, and in reality it's the crow itself that is truly free. So what do we learn from this account? We learn that we as human beings, we think that others are way happier than us. Others are tremendously happy. We have the most depressive life. We have the most sadness in our life. Everyone else is okay. Everyone else is happy and joyful. And in this process, we forget our blessings. We think everyone else is happy, but we don't realize that even those who seem happy outwardly, Those people that we see and we think, whoa, he's living a very nice life, comfortable life. Even those people have struggles as well. And we know this. But how do we look at others and how do we make these judgments? What happens is, it begins with small things. For example, the food that someone eats. You may see someone coming out of a shop, an expensive shop, a branded shop, and you think, oh, I can't eat from there. But this person's always buying food from that shop. Then he moves on. Then we say, oh, I've been driving this car for so many years, it's 20 years old. But that person is driving the latest car, the latest model, sports car. And like this, it's a never-ending cycle. Then we look at the person's house. We think, subhanAllah, he lives in a detached house, in such an affluent area. Look at me, stuck in the same postcode for the last so many years. And I can't move. Where am I supposed to go? I don't have the budget for it. So this is our mind playing with us. Nafs is with us. Shaitan is with us. We need to realize. And when we think like this, we create unnecessary sadness in our lives. Discontentment in our lives. We forget our own blessings. Every day we wake up, we're able to see, is this not a blessing? Of course it is. Every single day, alhamdulillah, we wake up. We're able to move. We're able-bodied. Is this not a blessing? It's a massive blessing. Ask those people who are in a wheelchair. Ask those people who are disabled. So these blessings we have, we overlook them. Why? Because someone's eating from a certain shop, someone's wearing certain clothes, someone's driving a certain car, someone's living in a certain house. But what we don't realize and we fail to realize is even that person, he has struggles. The car he has, the monthly installments are so high, he's stressed about that. The house he lives in, it may be double the amount of rent that you pay. So everyone has their own struggles. Everyone has their own worries as well. And life is ups and downs. There'll be occasions where Allah Ta'ala blesses us, we're happy, we're joyful, we feel inner peace. There'll be other moments in life where we feel things are not going in our favor. We feel things are against us. We feel down. We have low spirits. But this is life. This is the way of life. Whoever's come to the dunya, he's experienced this. Highs and lows. But what we must realize is that when we have good times, when we have ease in our lives, that's when we show shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's when we show gratitude to Allah jalla wa ala. Why? Because He has Himself promised and He has said, La in shakartum la azidannakum. If you're grateful, I'll give you more, I'll definitely give you more. And when it comes to difficulties in life, when it comes to sadness that we face, remember the verse of the Quran, accept those who are patient and did righteous actions. For those people is maghfirah and a great reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse mentions two things. He says those who were patient and those who did good actions. So patience is something that we cannot do without. Look at the lives of the prophets alayhi wasalam and how much they struggled, how much calamities, hardships they faced, yet they were from the sabireen. Look at Prophet Musa alayhi salam. He grew up in the house of the tyrant, Fir'aun. And what did Fir'aun not do to his people? It was very oppressive. Yet Musa alayhi salam kept patient. Look at the life of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. He's a young child. But then his brothers become jealous of him. That the father loves him more than them. They throw him down the well. He's sold. Becomes a slave. And then Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam is falsely accused. And he ends up in prison for numerous years. This is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not prophets. Yet, did he ever complain? Did he ever say, why me? Why is this happening to me? No. You will find in the seerah of all the prophets alayhi salam that they were immensely patient, subhanAllah. Immensely patient. Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam was no different. And what's the result of that patience? Those very same brothers who threw him down the well, they appear in his court and they're in need now. And the dream interpretation occurs where they do sajda to him. And remember, sajda in that sharia was allowed, sajda tu ta'zim, meaning the prostration of venerance out of respect. In this sharia, in the sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this sajda of respect and veneration is haram, is forbidden. The companions desired to do sajda to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam out of respect, but the Prophet alaihi wasallam forbade them and said this is haram in this sharia. In the previous sharias, the sajda of ta'zim was allowed. So Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers did sajda towards him. And he went from the lowest of lows, facing all those difficulty, to the highest of highs. That was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarding him for his patience. Look at the life of Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam. Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, what did he not face? So many great calamities. He had everything. Everything that people wish to have. He had wealth, he had offspring, he had a spouse, he had assets, he had land, he had wealth, everything. But the same Lord who gave him all of that took it away in an instant. Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam has lost his children. The house collapses. He's lost his livestock. He's lost his wealth, his assets. On top of that, he becomes ill himself. But did he ever complain? Did he ever say, why me? Allahu Akbar. Look at the Quran. Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam has been praised in the Quran. Wa ayyuba idh nada rabbahu anni massani ad-dur wa anta arhamur rahimin. Allah Ta'ala says, recall Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam. Remember his example. When he called out to his Lord and he said, harm has reached me. Look at the adab of the Anbiya alayhim salam. He didn't say, Ya Allah, why have you afflicted me? Oh, Ya Allah, you caused me to suffer. He said, harm has afflicted me. He didn't even mention Allah. This is adab, ma'allah. But then he relies on Allah. And he says, Wa anta arhamur rahimin. Ya Allah, you are the most merciful of all those who show mercy. And what happened? Because of his sabr, because of his tawakkul, because of his reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did Allah jalla wa ala do? Gave him everything he had before and more on top as well. Allah replaced all those blessings that he lost. He was able to have children again, wealth, livestock, land, property. He had everything given back to him, bestowed upon him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because of sabr. And this is what we need to understand today. That when we face calamity, when we face difficulty, don't think, oh, I can say what I like, do what I like, complain to whoever I like, and then everything will be rosy. No, there's a certain way that we need to behave and act when we face calamities and difficulties. We need to show sabr. And this is, in fact, the character of a true believer. We're all Muslims, we're all mu'mins. But there's a difference between an average and normal believer and a kamil, a true believer. There's definitely a difference. The difference is that a true believer will realize that every blessing he has to be grateful for it, and it can be taken away as well. If blessings were removed temporarily from Prophets alayhi wasalam, then who are me and you? They can be removed from us as well. And it happens as well. But we remain patient and have belief that Allah will return blessings to us. And secondly, that we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who shown gratitude when we face ease in life. When we have less difficulties, calamities, we show shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what happens in society and why do we become sad? Because that's the topic, sadness. We become sad for a number of reasons. I just want to highlight a few. Number one, when we face any calamity, we have this default setting in our mind that now I have to tell someone. I'm facing a problem. I'm not going to rest until I've told everyone. Until I've put it on my status. Until I've put it on my social media. Until people know what I am facing, I won't feel at ease. Ask yourself this question. Can people truly take you out of your difficulty? No. In fact, we know that if the entire globe comes together to help you, they can't help you if Allah does not will. It's not possible. So when we tell people, with what intention do we tell people? just to take a burden off our shoulders, just so that we can get a sympathy vote. What's the maqsad or the intention, purpose behind it? And when we complain too much to people, even people, they disassociate from us. They move away from us. Because they think, oh, not him again. He's going to start complaining about something. He's in a low mood, he's going to affect my mood as well. I should stay far away from him. So, look at the mindset of our pious predecessors. You'll find out from this example how they actually thought. When it came to problems, when it came to dealing with problems. Sayyidatuna Rabia Basriya radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was a high-ranking waliya in her time. And once she saw an individual who had a bandage wrapped around his head. And when he was asked, what's this bandage for? What does this signify? Why have you got this bandage wrapped around your head? And the person said, for 364 days a year, I don't have this headache, but one day a year, laziman, necessarily one day a year, I have a banging headache. I have a severe headache. Very bad migraine. It's so severe, I have to put this bandage on. So Sayyidah Rabia Basriya radiallahu anha said so beautifully. He said, look, Allah Ta'ala granted you ease for 364 days a year, right? And one day a year, you're saying yourself, one day a year, you have this terrible headache. It's as if you're telling everybody about that one day in a year where you suffer. But let me ask you, on those 364 days when you don't have a headache, do you also write on your forehead that I'm okay? Allah has protected me today. Allah has blessed me today. I'm not feeling any difficulty or calamity today. So look at the way she turned his attention to the fact that whenever we have a difficulty, we're quick to reveal it. So if we're ill, we'll start behaving in a certain way around people. We start coughing more. We'll mention what we're suffering from. But when we're okay, when do we ever turn to the next person and say, Alhamdulillah, I'm good today. Alhamdulillah, I have no problem today. So this is the nature of insan where we can be ungrateful. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Very few of my slaves, they're actually grateful. Allah is saying that. Nobody can turn around and say, that's not the case. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala created us, knows us more than everyone else. He knows us better than everyone else. And He Himself is saying from the billions and billions of people He has created, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. That only few are truly grateful. But this is what Sayyidah Rabia Basriya was trying to teach that person. One day a year you've got this bad headache, but you have to show people. But for the other days of the year, when you're in ease and afia, you don't announce that you're okay. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from complaining unnecessarily. Another thing is that we misjudge the problems. The problem may be a small problem in our life. We misjudge it, we overreact, we over-exaggerate, and before we know it, in our eyes, it's become a full-blown problem. It may be something as small as you entered your home and you saw that the house was a bit unkempt, a bit untidy. Normally you go home, alhamdulillah, it's fine. But that day, the stress of work or whatever the case, you came home and you saw that the house is not as neat as the previous day. So you start lashing out. You start saying to the wife, to the children, what's this? Do you guys not know about purity in Islam? Cleanliness in Islam is half of our faith. Why have you got things thrown all over the place? But na'udhu billah, shaitan's at play, nafs is at play. The person can end up even saying, divorce to his wife. Says, oh, I don't want to live with someone who doesn't know about purification and cleanliness. Remember, this happened once. Normally it's fine. So then we've ended up magnifying that problem, made it into a massive problem. And then we say, too much sadness in my life, too much grief in my life. So if we nip it in the bud, as they say, and we consider every problem to be the size that it is. If it's a small problem, consider it a small problem. Find solutions for it. If it is a big problem, try to solve that problem as well. But these things all lead to sadness, grief, worry. And then we end up complaining. So it's a vicious cycle that we can find ourselves in. And another reason why we can feel this sadness is because, again, insan can fall prey to selective thinking. That in any given situation, we highlight the negative aspects, we forget the positive. Let me give an example of someone who is a businessman, for example. He's in trade. And he suffers. He suffers a loss. And then he starts crying, he starts panicking, he starts complaining, he starts shouting and screaming, why has this happened? You know, I've suffered so much loss in my business. And that could be momentarily, meaning in that quarter he suffered a loss. But he won't recall the fact that the previous year he made a record high profit. But because he suffered a bit of loss on business, you have your ups and downs. There's profit, there's times where you lose as well, and you should be prepared for that. But this person will forget about everything else where Allah Ta'ala has granted his business tremendous barakah, and he made more than he could even estimate, 3 times more, 4 times, but he forgets that, and he'll say, why has this happened right now? Why this stumbling block right now? Why have I suffered a loss right now? So this selective thinking, we should also remove this from our lives as well. If we're going to analyze something, analyze it as a whole. Look at the entire situation. And when we look at the entire situation, that will put things into perspective. And inshallah, things will seem better, look better. And you know you'll be able to get out of that situation as well. And lastly, before I conclude, this is something that, again, Islam put a stop to this more than 14 centuries ago, but it's still an issue in our societies. Stigma. That when children are born, if, for example, a person has a daughter, then he has another daughter, then he has another daughter. He doesn't know how great a blessing a daughter is. How the Prophet ﷺ has given bishara, glad tidings, that if you look after a daughter from a young age till you marry her off, and you provide for her, and you give her correct Islamic upbringing, she can be a means from your salvation from the hellfire. He acts as a barrier between you and the hellfire. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned how those who look after daughters, bring them up, they'll be close to the Prophet ﷺ in the Akhirah. But then people will fill someone's ears. Well, you don't have a son. Well, you've only got daughters. As if it's a bad thing. Many, many Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, prophets of Allah, far greater than us, they didn't have children. Some prophets alayhimus salam only had daughters. So what will one say there? The prophets are the best in all of creation. The proximity that the prophets alayhimus salam have to Allah, we can never attain because of their rank of nabuwa. Our beloved alayhi salam, his lineage continued through his daughter Sayyida Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So remember, this is the mashia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the will of Allah. To some he gives daughters, to some he gives sons, to some he gives both. And some he keeps barren. They be childless. But in any situation that we find ourselves in, we show shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, Ya Allah, this child that you have granted me, bless me with, or children, allow me to fulfill the responsibility of parenthood. Allow me to give them the correct Islamic upbringing. And it'll be foolish to think, oh, why is this? Why have I only got a son? Why have I only got a daughter? I wanted this. I didn't want that. Na'udhu billah. You should be content with what Allah Ta'ala has given you and not make yourself feel sad. Make yourself feel discontent. Because these things only lead to depression, anxiety, worry and stress. And if you have all of those things, how are you going to worship Allah with khushu and khudu? How are you going to fulfill your purpose as a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you're consumed day and night by these thoughts? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. And this reminds me of, again, a fictional account of a cow. It mentions that the cow had access to land, greenery it would eat during the day. But at night, the cow would contemplate and think, what's going to happen the next day? Where am I going to get my sustenance from the next day? And in turn, the cow would become weak. This was a vicious cycle. He's eating during the day, thinking negatively at night, becoming weak. And may not be the case that we are similar in this regard. Day and night, we eat the rizq of Allah. We eat the sustenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as soon as we depart home, we're worried, what's going to happen tomorrow? Remember the same Lord who gave you whilst you were in the womb of your mother. And you hadn't even stepped foot into this dunya. That same Creator Jalla wa Ala will provide rizq for you throughout your life as well. And for your dependents as well. Because He has promised this, وَمَا مِن دَابَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There's no one on earth, no creation on earth except that Allah is the provider of that creation. It's upon the responsibility, it's upon the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide the rizq. So this overthinking, this sadness, this over-exaggeration, we need to stop this. We need to think positive. And inshallah, if we shift our thoughts, we rectify our thoughts, we control our thoughts, which is a massive skill. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to learn it. And then when we have control of our thoughts, we'll be able to live positive lives where we empower others, inspire others, think good for others, help others even. Until then, we'll constantly be in this rut where we're thinking negatively, we're sad, we're going from one place to another. Where's the cure? The court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet alayhi salam said, the closest a slave is to his Lord is in the position of prostration, sajda. That's the closest. The Prophet alayhi salam encouraged doing dua to Allah in that position. That Allah, you placed me into this difficulty, you can take me out as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does take people out. And He rewards them for their patience during those difficult times as well. So inshallah, let's stay positive and let's spread positivity to others as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to live lives full of prosperity and positivity where we inspire others and we don't demotivate others. This is another problem. Inshallah, for another day we'll speak about that, how some people are so negative and they demotivate others, they dishearten others, they discourage others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forever make us of those who motivate others and encourage others in doing acts of righteousness and rights of goodness. May Allah Jalla wa Ala accept what has been said and enable all of us to act upon it. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.